on. And we have liftoff.
We are live. We are live.
Saturday Night Live?
We are just live.
Oh, I guess it's Thursday Night Live.
Hot mics. Hot mics. Hot mic. Hot mic.
Why? Do you have like a sexual attraction to the mic or?
No, I'm saying there's a guy named Mike and he's kind of fucking hot.
Ah, yes, that's true.
God.
Mike, you are one good-looking motherfucker.
If anyone's listening who is named Mike, we're talking about you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Personally.
You. Don't worry that we didn't mention your last name. We're not going to.
Wazowski. Oh.
No. Well, welcome back, everybody. We are Soul of a Gamer.
That we are.
I'm Scott.
I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we get into a little in-depth background of how the game was made, and we give you our review of said game.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Which was Killer Frequency.
Yes, Killer Frequency. That game was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, even though it was kind of fucking weird.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that's like, it definitely could use a little bit more oomph to it, but it stuck with me. Like, I still think about it every once in a while. I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
it was a really fun one.
It could have been really cool if they made it into like a 20-hour game, but I don't know how well it would fare as a 20-hour game.
I really just enjoyed the length of it. Yeah, it didn't overstay its welcome, but it wasn't too short.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to first talk about what are we playing this week?
Yes.
What are you playing?
I said last week that I was playing Elden Ring and replaying that all the way through, and I did get to the DLC finally, so now I'm in Shadow of the Erdtree, and I'm on the last boss, and I am struggling with it like everybody else does.
Nice.
Holy fucking shit. That guy fucking
Yeah,
sucks,
I know. I beat him. I beat him in like half a try, pretty much.
You've never played the game.
I have played the first 2 minutes, and then I just kind of stopped.
What? How do you only play 2 minutes of Elden Ring?
I don't know.
I have like 300 hours in that game.
Sometimes I get bored really quick if I'm like, okay, this is going to require me to do a lot of thinking and to see like how well am I going to be in tuned and playing the game if I have to think too much. That's usually my go-to to see how well I'm going to do. And with that game, I could already tell it's going to be a lot of thinking and a lot of learning. And I didn't want to jump into it.
It's a very high learning curve. And even like, finding the secrets and stuff in the world, like there's some that you would never find without a guide.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Well, I mean, you might. You just
no.
Like the difference is, are you willing to spend the 1600 hours in it to find all those things that you're looking for? Where you're investigating every single crevice you can think of, and you're looking like, you know what I mean? Like you can find it. It's just gonna take a long time unless you just happen upon it.
But I mean, like. So, like, illusionary walls in the game are always been one hit and it destroys the illusion, or rolling into it destroys the illusion, or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's one wall in the entire series, and it's in Elden Ring, that actually has 999 health and, like, 99 defense, and you have to have certain stats to be able to damage it, but you have to fully whittle it down all the way, which for some people takes upwards of... 20 and 50 hits.
Damn.
And it's like no one would have ever, like, the person who found that, I'm like, how would you know?
So there's no indicator one thing that you can do for games like this, you can look at the source code.
Yeah, and I think that's how someone found it.
I think that's mostly how people find stuff, is they just read through the source code to see what's in there, and they say, oh, this is something I haven't discovered yet.
Yeah,
like you'll have filters in there that'll say, if this, take out, because you already found that. If this, take out, and they'll take all those things out, and so the only thing left in those filters would be things you haven't found yet.
Well, and like a lot of like the secrets and stuff in the game too are hidden in like lore things or like item things. So it'd be like you'll just read like one item, and it's like, oh mother at the Erdtree, and then you have to go to the Erdtree and do the oh mother emote, and then you get a special item, and you're like, wait, what the fuck?
It's just crazy. It's a crazy game. Sounds like a crazy game.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. The amount of secrets and stuff in it is just wild.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am playing a game that I actually hated when I first played it.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
So, I went on a Kingdom Hearts kick like 4 years ago trying, and I wanted to really just beat them all, and I got up to, I think, the last game in the first collection set, which there's two collections.
Well, you were 100%ing them too, weren't you?
Well, now I am. So that's the thing. Oh, now I am very much 100%ing these games. So I did 100% Kingdom Hearts 1 besides a few achievements that I don't think I want to do. I haven't decided That's if fair. I'm going to go back in. You have to, basically one of them is don't change your fucking equipment throughout the entire game. So you just play it on the easiest difficulty. It wouldn't be too bad, but it's just annoying to have to go all the way back into a 70-hour game and start it from the beginning. Sure. And then also I need to find one shield that I just need to farm for hours with, and I don't know if I want to farm for hours yet. We'll see. I'll decide that later. But the second game in the series that I didn't like when I first played it is called Chain of Memories. And in Chain of Memories, they have this card game system instead of like your usual combat system in the original Kingdom Hearts, where certain cards will do certain things, and they have a number from 0 to 9 on them. You can break enemy cards by just playing a card that is stronger number-wise than the card they played. So their attack gets stopped and your attack goes through, but then they can play another card that stops your attack if it's better than yours. Back and forth, yada, yada. It's really confusing, and if you play it long enough, you figure it out. And it took me, I looked at my first game, it's 58 hours is how long I spent in it.
Yeah.
And in 58 hours, I beat the game, and I know that took me that long because I fucking sucked. And this time, I'm like 90% of the way through the game already. I'm 10 hours in. I'm doing so much better. Like, I just understand how to play. Once you understand the cards and what you need to be doing to set up your decks, you're perfect.
Yeah.
It just takes a long fucking time to learn that. It took me 58 hours in the first one because I know I had struggled with every single boss on easy mode. And right now, I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, and I'm flying through it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, like, when games have, like, really complex mechanics that, like, once you learn them, it's amazing, and then you can blare through things, but the learning process sometimes is just ridiculous, unless you, like, watch videos and guides and all this other stuff. But
I mean, it's like playing, what's that game, the dice game with the cards? Lost and Random? Lost and Random, only a lot more complicated.
All right.
No. All right, that's what we're playing.
Yeah.
If you guys want to share what you guys are playing this week, please reach out, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please. Or you can always find us on TikTok now at Soul of a Gamer Podcast.
And probably Instagram, if not now, in the future.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's jump right into the story of this game. How about that?
All right. You want to say which game we're playing first?
We are playing Uncharted. Is it Drake's Fortune?
Yes, Drake's Fortune.
Yeah, Drake's Fortune, which I don't love that title. I think Uncharted would have been okay. Adding the Drake's
Uncharted
Fortune
just by itself is fine. I don't know why they needed a subtitle for the first game.
I know we're already getting into like the review part here just on the title, but that is a really dumb fucking title.
It really is. Well, and it was confusing because like because I had never played these games before, like finding the first game. Even in the collection, I was like, okay, so Uncharted, Drake's... Okay,
that's what I was... Remember, I text you. I'm like, which one are we fucking playing? Because there's like 50 in here, and none of them are clear which one's the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 4 main titles, and then there's 2 spinoffs, I believe. So 6 titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump right into this with the little background story here. The story of Uncharted follows Nathan Drake, a treasure hunter and descendant of famous Sir Francis Drake, as he searches for El Dorado. As Nathan makes his way deeper into the mystery of what Sir Francis Drake did with El Dorado, he discovers more than he wanted to get into, including pirates, other treasure hunters, and a curse that could end the world.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so the making of Uncharted starts with developer Naughty Dog, famous for games such as Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter, and The Last of Us. They have you know, a list as long as a fucking... I don't even know. Santa's fucking list of games that they've made. They are an insanely popular. List. Yeah. They're an insanely
great,
popular
great
company. Yeah. Didn't they make another game that we did or?
Oh God.
I don't remember now. Probably. I feel like they made another game we did in this new version of the podcast, but Naughty Dog has been around forever. And if they're not making games, they're producing games. So they're kind of like in a lot. They are owned by Sony. So,
yes.
Let's see, as well as many more games, they are a seasoned game company that has been owned by Sony since 2001. This was Naughty Dog's first attempt at making a game for the PlayStation 3. That may not seem like a huge deal now, as we are so far in the future and are used to high graphics and sound, but for Naughty Dog, it was a whole new world. The co-president of Naughty Dog said about it, "It was really exciting. We were thrilled at the opportunity to work on what I feel is the most powerful hardware out there right now and to do something that was brand new and different. We could have certainly easily taken the easy route," which this is verbatim. I know that sounds fucking dumb. That's because this guy is a fucking idiot, doesn't know how to talk. That's not my fault, guys. You cannot blame me for that shit. He doesn't know how to talk. "We could have certainly easily taken the easy route and made another Jak and Daxter game, but we didn't feel that would really push us to achieve something that was fresh and interesting. The co-president really wanted to take advantage of what the PlayStation 3 could do. Jak and Daxter and Crash were made for the PS2 and really looked good on it because of the capabilities the console had. They wanted to make something that would be perfect for the PlayStation 3. When they made the switch from making games for PlayStation 1 and 2, the hurdle was much smaller because the technology had only advanced so far. When making the jump from PlayStation 2 to 3, the advancements were much greater. Naughty Dog was able to make a game engine that really worked with the PlayStation 3 as well. At the start, At the start of making the game, there were 5 or 6 engineers working on it for about a year. That was to hammer out how they could code it. After that, there were 2 more years of production to get a final product of the game. When coding for the game, they wanted to take advantage of the fact that the PlayStation 3 had so much more processing power than the PlayStation 2. In the end, however, they only ended up using 1/3 to 1/2 of the total available processing power the PlayStation 3 had to offer. Which I think is fucking crazy. Like, I didn't look at the difference between the processing power of the PlayStation 2 and 3, but I would assume that they're about 10 times apart.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, it is. Mean, like, even playing old PlayStation 2 classics, comparison graphics-wise and stuff, it's insane, the difference.
It's a different world. I mean, I think, Last of Us made for PlayStation 3?
Yes.
And that game is fucking gorgeous. So I mean, you think about that and how much, like, and that's post Uncharted, so we're talking like 2 or 3 years post Uncharted when they really had time to learn how the processing power worked for the PS3, and that's fucking sweet. One of the things they really wanted to try with so much more processing power was in-depth animations. They could have Nathan running across a courtyard, stumbling over a rock while he is ducking from a hail of gunfire, reloading his weapon, and rolling into cover. All these animations could happen simultaneously, unlike in previous game consoles. The co-president said that it is really cool to play the game and feel very different, very little difference between the game and watching a movie. A cool thing that Naughty Dog ended up doing was reaching out to the community through blogs to see what they could improve on while making the game. This resulted in a big change for the game. The old game would cap out at 480p for televisions instead of taking advantage of the available 1080p. Isn't that crazy that they capped out at 480 when they fucking had televisions capable of producing 1080?
That's crazy. Just to make sure, like, everyone would be able to play it.
Yeah, and, like, I think they posted in on a blog to ask them, hey, how do these characteristics for the game settings look? And someone mentioned, like, that is garbage. You should fix it. Which I thought, I just think it's funny, and I think it's cool of them to reach out to the community. We had Baldur's Gate, where they reach out to the community a lot, and then they get a lot of feedback, and they implement all of the feedback they get.
Any companies that will take feedback from the community and adhere to that feedback and actually change the game or the movie or whatever it is to make it better of what the community actually wants, like, listening to the people is going to make your game way more successful than just ignoring all of us.
For sure. And, like, these are, you know, seasoned gamers, guys who have been playing games their entire life. They've got everything down. They know what they want. And you give them what they want because they will pay for what they want. They won't pay for things they don't. So,
well, yeah. And if any company would ever come up to me and be like, hey, what do you want from this company? And I tell them and then they do it, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
Like, just out of merit alone. Like, you did exactly what I wanted. Yeah, I'm going to pay you.
Yeah. I mean, they've been talking about getting a re-release for the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, the first 7 packs or whatever, for years. And they've never done it. And finally, for the 25th anniversary, they did it.
Oh, nice.
And instantly, my buddies and I all bought, like, I bought, like, 6 boxes, I think, worth of cards. And we each bought that. And everyone bought that. And those sold out incredibly fast.
It's kind of like Magic, actually. A lot of people were wanting more crossovers with Magic the Gathering. And recently they've been doing a crossover like every other, or like every third set that comes out. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like they just had like Lord of the Rings, Assassin's Creed. They're doing Marvel next summer.
I was just going to say Marvel should be in their wheelhouse. Yep. Which
they just announced it. They just announced it last week. I think Marvel crossover with Magic. I'm so excited. I'm going to spend way too much money on it.
Put out another fucking card. That's $2 million or something.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Hate it.
It's only was $2 million because Post Malone wanted to.
It was $2 million because that's what people were putting a bounty on it for before it even came out.
No, Post Malone did. Was just Post Malone who did.
Remember, it was several people. Several people came out and put a. There were several bounties out, each for $1 million. I believe Post Malone ended up paying $2 million, which was over the bounty of $1 million. But still, it's in a, that's already before the fucking card comes out. It's already worth $1 million. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, there was only one printed, so makes sense that it's extremely rare.
Yeah, there's it's not one printed, right? It's a remake of another card, so there are a bunch of that card. It just they only printed
There's only one printed that way.
Drawing way.
It's the promotional foil art version of it or whatever.
There's only one printed that way, but that card does exist in other faucets, and I think they released different versions of the card in that set too. So I know it's super popular right now. I have a buddy who plays Magic, and he says that card is actually on the tournament
ban list.
No, on the tournament route for Commander decks.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So it's a very important card, apparently.
Which I just got back into Commander.
Nice. So they fixed this very quickly with the 1080p thing. Realism for the game was an important aspect that the team focused on a lot. Gears of War had set a giant standard for having games look and feel more realistic, and the team really wanted to compete with that. That is realism for the time. The time it looked amazing. Now it looks like literal trash. In toting the line between the realism they wanted and the fact that this was a video game, they made the enemies a little too challenging. This resulted in testers saying that because of the amount of bullets it took to kill an enemy, the game felt very unrealistic and asked for the enemy's health bars be lowered to make them easier to fight. Naughty Dog did this and instead increased the number of spawned enemies to make the fight challenging still.
Wait, they nerfed it and it's still... I'll get into that later.
One big part of the game are puzzles. One interviewer said that they felt like the puzzles were too easy and really handed to the player through the notebook of Sir Francis Drake found during a cutscene. Naughty Dog responded saying that the testers of the game would mark the puzzles as just right or a little too difficult. Those were the only two options and most came out just right. They did notch a few puzzles up between early development and testing and found players were facing a brick wall a lot of the time. So they really didn't want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, like,
make it too challenging at all.
Yeah. It's just like it's like Killer Frequency. You know, you make it too challenging and then people don't do what you want and they get frustrated and they don't play the game.
True.
So, like, you don't want it to be too challenging unless that's what people are getting into. Like, Dark Souls, too challenging for some players, but you know that at the fucking start.
True.
So you don't have to worry about it so much. This game, not too challenging at the beginning, so you don't want to like face a brick wall 10 minutes into the game.
Oh, yeah, and it's not like games like Tunic that have like 11 pages of a manual where you have to read the entire manual in the game and find hidden codes in every pages and then put all those codes together and then pull out a 64-character code input on your controller that unlocks a special area of the game. It's nothing wild and ridiculous like that. That's just like hidden.
And it's not like the puzzles were extremely easy in the game. We'll get to that more in gameplay, but they weren't super easy, but they weren't really hard either. So
I felt like they're too easy still, but
you think, and I think so too with some of them, because especially with the book, you really had too many clues. But besides that, you know, so the way the game looked was also important to developers. Naughty Dog really wanted believable humans. All of the textures in the game were hand painted and no photos were used at all, which doesn't make any fucking sense to me when you want believable humans. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't a photo be used? A photo is more believable than a fucking painting more than 90% of the time.
maybe the painting's more like malleable or malleable in like the art side of it, like actually like putting it on the shapes and stuff.
Maybe. I was curious. I was like, I don't quite understand, like, when you take a photo, you're getting the perspective of that what that person looks like. So
yeah, but doing photos are flat and they kind of always show flat, so maybe getting the 3D effects was easier with it painted on.
Maybe I was just a little confused by the way they put that. I'm sure they know better than me because I don't fucking know any of this shit at all. But
because I would almost think it would like using photos is almost more like what Max Payne graphics looked like.
Yeah, where true.
Those faces were very flat and very like weird looking,
warped,
and didn't
warped
have...
like on a fucking cone.
Exactly, yeah. So I would think that maybe that's why they didn't choose it, just because like it's harder to shape it correctly, and it's easier to paint contours and stuff to get the shading and stuff better than it is. Yeah.
True. The team had three goals for animations. First, they wanted realistic movement. Second, they wanted the fluidity of the movement to seem seamless and not clunky. And lastly, they wanted good responsiveness from the character. When working on the PlayStation 2, the team was able to use 2 or 3 textures per character. For the PlayStation 3, they were using 20 to 30 textures per character. So, you know, 10 times the amount.
Yeah.
They were really excited to be able to have more detailed faces and bodies. Mostly, they were excited to have anatomically correct characters. Other games that Naughty Dog developed had 60 to 80 face poses, while Uncharted used 200 to 300 poses.
Wow.
More than 2 times the amount, you know.
Yeah.
At the start of the designing process of the characters, the team really worried about getting the mouths right with the characters. They were concerned that people would notice the mouths were not matching the facial expressions the characters were making. This quickly moved to focus on the eyes when the team realized that more people tend to look at someone's eyes when they are talking than their mouths, which I don't know how you just realize that, but that's fine.
Yeah, unless you are used to reading lips, you're typically looking at someone's eyes. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. This way, any facial expressions made by the characters were matched by the eyes. They had a lot of movements for the eyelids, so that when the eyeball moved around, the appropriate movement of the eyelid was made. They also created underlying joint structures, so when the characters moved around, you could see the chest bulge, and when they moved their arm, you could see their bicep curl. Which, I mean, now is normal, right? You're used to seeing that realistic look. We played Senua's Hellblade 2 or whatever. And we know, like, they do a lot of fucking work in programming those guys to look as most real as they can. But back in the day, that was not the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, before motion capture, actually having to go in and actually, like, move every joint and muscle and made it look like it was natural was such a tedious job.
For sure. Okay, the team had to do 10 times the amount of animation that they've had to do in the past. For previous generation game systems, polygons were the most important thing when it came to animations. And polygons are like different shapes and sizes that usually end up in triangle shapes. So when you do a triangle, you'll triangle shape out the legs, the body, the face, everything. And that was super important back in the day, but with PlayStation 3, shaders were really important, so the texture and depth were more realistic. One of the animations the team really wanted to get right was water. Water has always been a difficult thing to code and look realistic. The team really wanted to make the water look, and this is in the words of one of the animators, kick-ass.
Nice.
That's how he fucking put
that's
it. He said,
kick-ass water, right?
He wanted to make it look kick-ass, and I think I didn't put it in here, but I remember them saying they had like 600 or 700 different shaders to make the water look as real as they fucking possibly could. Because one of the things they talk about is like the water coming down off the waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an easy thing to do. It's not like the water is flowing. They have to have basically a continuously repeated image of the water coming down. So the shader is showing it come down, and like I said, like 600-700 shaders coming down all at once. Almost think of it like each drop of water has to be coated on its own.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking intense. Water is really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can't imagine, like, back in the day doing... We've seen the water. It's, like, a weird dark or deep blue, and the waves look really strange.
Yeah, like, tiny little motions and stuff to it. And, I mean, the water does look pretty significantly, like... decent for, especially for the time.
Yeah, like, for 2007, and this game started in 2005, so it's like, you know, this is well before the PlayStation 3, I think, came out in 2006.
Something like that.
Yeah, so another thing the team focused very hard on was making the story and the characters of Nathan Drake. They were inspired by TV shows the team would watch as children. This includes Doc Savage, who was a comic book character who ended up with a TV show. Doc Savage is actually the inspiration for many superhero and adventure comics. They also took influences from Indiana Jones, The Mummy, The Da Vinci Code, and National Treasure. So,
not surprising there at all.
Yeah, right. All the things that have the most mystery and the most treasure and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Nathan Drake to appear as an everyman. And this is something that kept coming up every fucking thing I did in research, every source. Nathan Drake is an everyman.
Interesting.
So what they're trying to say is, like, anyone could be Nathan Drake. And that, you know, I wrote that in the next line, that anyone who played the game could relate to the character. Which
only
I find
Nathan Fillion could be Nathan Drake.
I agree. He does look a lot like Nathan Fillion. But a lot of people kept saying, like, well, not everyone can fucking jump from a 30-foot vertical down 25 feet and land without being harmed. There's a few people who can do that. I certainly can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's funny that they kept doing this whole, like, everyman thing. I don't know why that was so important to them. It's not like it fucking mattered.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't play the game and think, like, I relate to this character a lot.
No. No. I mean, he was relatable more in just, like, the way he acted, like, with Elena and with Sully and certain situations. Like, he reacted more human than a lot of, like, video game characters typically do. So he is a little bit more relatable in those kind of ways, but yeah, I wouldn't say that he's like someone that I'm like, oh yeah, that's me.
That's me. That's me in a heartbeat.
Get that. I'm Nathan Drake.
Yeah. And many people say that Nathan Drake is not a person they could be because not everyone can do the parkour stunts he does. The studio had never done motion capture before, and so when hiring actors to play the role of the characters, they had to pick people with TV or movie experience to have them do the things that the characters would do. They really wanted to record the voices while the characters were doing the movements because they wanted to capture the natural way a person might move and strain in a specific situation. During the motion capture, the actors had to use a lot of imagination to visualize what they were doing. The actors described a normal set for a TV or movie where they had people in costumes and a full set behind them so the actors would feel like they are whatever that scene, they are wherever that scene was set. Which is true. Back in the day, motion capture wasn't super popular until like the later half of the 2000s, right? So you have this entire field of people who did voice acting who are not used to doing regular acting. The movements, the talking in front of someone's face, like that was not something they did a lot. And then you have motion capture come into play where they want people who can not only do the voice acting part of that, but also act. Because if you don't act, you're not getting anything out of that. And then you're
having to hire separate people to do the motion acting while you have a separate voice actor. Wait, or
which is not as natural because it's like what we talked about in Senua, where you miss out on the facial expressions some people get. Senua and Baldur's Gate. You miss out on all these cool things that the people have on their face when they're talking. You miss out of the movements that they make. Like if someone has a real limp, you'll miss out on how that limp is affecting the character in real time. Like, without the people who've both could voice act and had acted on TV, I think gaming would have probably had a super big slump couple of years where people are still learning how to deal with that, you know? That's in my opinion. Probably I don't know for sure, but it feels like there would be a slump.
Yeah.
Where was I here? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't, and somewhere here, don't you worry, I'll find it. The actors described a normal set, yep. On set for Uncharted Tower, there are no props or sets. There are a bunch of people wearing the same thing and a lot of green. They really had to have a lot of direction in order to know exactly what the scene was entailing. And again, we talked about in Senua how they actually had TV set up so they could see what the scene was like. Yeah. And that kind of stuff helps now, but they didn't have this back then. The cast of the game were Nolan North as Nathan Drake, Emily Rose as Elena Fisher, Richard McGonagall as Victor Sullivan, Simon Templeman as Gabriel Roman, Robin Atkins Downs as oh my god, Atok Navarro, and James Tsai, or C, as Eddie Raha. Music for the game was composed by Greg Edmondson. He is famous for working a lot in Hollywood, including doing all the music for the show Firefly. Greg said they used a lot of, and I don't like this term, but he said it. Greg said they used a lot of ethnic instruments during the making of the music and said they used them in a strange ways to get the vibe of a stranger in a strange land.
Okay.
All right. This is my favorite part, by the way. The game came out November 19th, 2007. When the game was released in Japan, they had to censor all of the blood in order for the Japanese to allow the game to hit the markets.
Oh, geez.
No blood allowed in the game to be on Japanese markets, which is crazy because we've played Japanese games and they are extremely fucking violent.
Yeah. So just for a time period, they just weren't wanting blood for a second or something?
I guess. Next week's game is going to be really different for them because clearly there is a lot of blood in that game by two very famous Japanese companies.
Oh, yeah.
So reviews for the game, and this is my favorite part here. Reviews for the game prove that gamers might be just as awkward as TV shows and movies make them out to be. Many reviews for this game were hard to read and very creepy. One review said that the game was essentially Tomb Raider plus Prince of Persia plus Indiana Jones plus a ton of guns.
I agree with that full-heartedly.
I do, too. It's just fucking dumb to say it out loud. And also, they did this thing, and I hate this fucking shit. They also gave the game an 8.75 out of 10 and said it was not destined to be a classic. Which, fair. I think it's a classic now. I think they considered Uncharted to be a classic. It's not very good.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, but my favorite part, 8.75 out of 10. What stopped them from giving 8.76? What stopped them from giving 8.75?
Just 9. Just round.
Yeah, like, just fucking round it up. I think they do it in
You can do the halves, but don't do quarters.
I would even say the halves are dumb. Because, again, what's the difference between an 8.5 and a 9 in your head? You know what I mean? Like, an 8 and a 9, maybe you could say, I would like this in the game, but I really did enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're getting too specific when you give point whatever. I hate that fucking review style. I wish people would stop doing it. You know, it's the Rotten Tomatoes bullshit we've talked about before where it's not real. It's all just based on, like, an actual percentage number, not like, this person says this movie's a 56 out of 100. Like, well, what's the difference
between... 80% of people say it's at least a 6 out of 10 game.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
At least that makes more sense to someone giving the actual review an 87%. Because that would be fucking
true.
Stupid.
True.
Another reviewer said Naughty Dog was heading into, and Steven, I was so fucking mad when I read this.
Oh, okay.
They are heading into Uncharted territory. I was like, you hacky piece of fucking shit. You dirty fucking hack whore. Get the fuck out of here, you asshole.
That's pretty great, though.
I can't stand
it's
that
stupid.
Hacky shit.
I love puns.
That's so fucking
puns
hacky.
Puns
hacky.
Are extremely hacky. There's no way to not be a hacky pun.
But that's just too on the nose, I think. You can do better. You can do better.
Definitely better puns.
Yeah. Yet another reviewer said that he was upset the way the character Elena was redesigned for a later release of the game. They started by saying that Elena would not be the prettiest girl at the ball, but they appreciated the fact that they would not be maced in the face for talking to her at a party. They went on to say that with the she's all that treatment the character got, that now she was out of an average person's league. They also said that they could not get her digits, as the kids say. This article was released in 2009.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I read that. I'm like, you are a fucking creep, my dude. I don't know what the fucking
was
tell
there
you.
A previous version of her that wasn't released that's
I guess,
way different or something?
I guess my understanding is they did an updated like 2009 version of the game out and they changed her hair color from brown to blonde. Or she had blonde highlights in there, I think, if what I'm remembering is right. But even still, that's all they did was change her character from brown hair to blonde hair.
Yeah, but like the she's all that treatment is just letting her hair down and taking off her glasses and now being hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy was just like horny for video game characters, but that's what it sounds like.
It sounded like it.
In the end, the game did well, both in reviews and sales. And that is the end of the making of Uncharted.
Bum, bum, bum. Nice. All right. So we'll get right into our next segment, the best and the worst.
Yep.
I've
got a lot to say about this.
Where do we want to start?
So I'm going to say, how about we start with one of the worst? I think, you know, in there I read several times about them saying they didn't want the movement to feel clunky. They wanted it to feel seamless. But, oh, my God, the movement felt clunky
and janky as shit.
All throughout the game. There wasn't a moment where I didn't feel like it was way fucking clunky. Like, I hated that the same button to hide behind cover and to fucking roll away.
Yes.
Like, why are they the same button? Because half the time you would roll and then it would put you in the cover you don't want to be in.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was fucking annoying. Moving around was annoying. Getting stopped by a 2-foot log when you're making 30 feet jumps, that's fucking obnoxious.
Not only all of that stuff, but like, and we're not saying this according to the times. Like, we're saying this according to the times as this came out too. We're not saying it's junky in today's times. Like, even other cover shooters like Gears of War, the fluidity of movement in Gears of War is
so much better.
Shit.
Yeah. And I mean,
compared to this.
Halo came out around the same time. That had some pretty fucking sick movements for Halo 3. Like,
well, and it became a thing that even a lot of people complained so much about the cover shooting in this that a lot of people said don't actually use the cover system and just hide behind a wall and just angle your camera so you can see behind it, but you're not getting shot.
That's one thing I really did.
Using the cover, but not actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, then, I agree. It's clinky as shit, though. Like, it's just ridiculous. Everything in it. The jumping's weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially the camera angles and some, like, the towers. We're climbing the outside walls.
Yeah.
And, like, you have, like, these, like, weird, like, half-angled jumps. And, like, sometimes it would just, miss.
They did that thing. And this is something that I complain about a lot in games. And I don't like. And this is PlayStation games in a fucking nutshell. I don't know why they do this. Stop doing second perspective cameras. Stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It's garbage. It looks like trash whenever you use it. You don't get to see what you're looking for in a research game. You want to be able to look around and find shit.
Yeah.
And so their perspective switches from third person perspective to second person perspective when they're climbing shit. And that's super fucking annoying. Just keep it in third. You don't need to switch it to fucking second.
And that's where Tomb Raider is better.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people and some of the reviews I read, not the reviews, the interview processes with the makers, they always asked them, like, how do you feel when people say your game is a lot like Tomb Raiders? And they're always like, it's nothing like Tomb Raiders.
It's exactly like Tomb Raiders. Shut the fuck up. And if you say this is not like Indiana Jones, I'm also going to tell you to shut the fuck up.
It was funny. It was funny seeing that like 50 times every time someone interviewed them.
They're so much alike that even the Death Battle guys made Tomb Raider, Lara Croft and Nathan Drake go against each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things I really want to harp on, I kind of said I was going to say this when you're giving your spiel.
The
difficulty of this game. Fuck it. On easy difficulty, this game is frustratingly annoying sometimes.
Yeah, I'll agree.
I have never been more frustrated on an easy difficulty in my entire life. And when I looked at the reviews for this game, I saw at least 50 saying, I'm on the easy difficulty. Why am I dying so much? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Why can I not pass this moment? Like, why is this so hard? And
I don't
just
know if
way
there's
too many
too much
one
of a difference
between
easy and normal, because normal was like a pain in the ass too.
Well, and that's what a lot of people said. They didn't say, like, a lot of people said they didn't really see too much of a difference on higher difficulties.
That's so
the enemies
weird.
Were still bullet spongy. The enemies were annoying. The enemies always could have perfect aim on you.
Yep.
The snipers would always one-shot you.
Always. And they're not even snipers. Did you see that? So if they had the laser sight, which I thought was hilarious. Some of the enemies have laser sights, guys, and you have to roll to not get shot by them. But they're like 600 yards away, and the laser sight turns out to be on a fucking pistol, and they can hit you in the head 600 yards away, one fucking shot.
It was so dumb.
It's hilarious.
It's the dumbest thing. I have never died more on an easy difficulty in my entire life.
You should
life.
Almost die zero. Like, that's the point of easy.
I almost stopped playing this game 5 different times, and I turned to Jin, and I was like, fuck this game. I am so pissed at this game. It's just ridiculous, and I really don't understand, especially when you say, like, they nerfed them before this came out. Why are they still that bad?
I don't even want to know
what the original rendition of this game
My assumption is that headshots in the original did not kill the enemies in one shot. which would be bullshit.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah, that's my assumption, because otherwise I can't imagine, like, yeah, they already take, like, 30 bullets to fucking kill every single one, so.
Yeah, and it's just, the whole combat in this game, honestly, even I even played the remastered version of this game.
Yeah, me too.
Just to fully tell you guys, like, this still sucks.
Yeah.
Like, even in a remastered version of the game, it's still clunky as shit. It's still terrible. The enemies are still way too overpowered for what they are. The other thing I will say with the combat that I got frustratingly annoyed with so much that I had to finish the game with the game on mute. The grenade launchers enemies would just constantly spam shoot you. And sometimes you'd go into an area and there'd be four of those guys. And when they would hit near you, you would get this high-pitched, irritating whistle sound, like you lost your hearing.
Yeah, it's the explosion effect from every game. Every single game out there has the same effect.
Yeah. But like this one does it on a way higher level, way more annoying, way louder. It's constant, and it's a ringing noise that holds for like almost a full 10 seconds sometimes.
Yeah.
And like it got to the point where I was getting annoyed, Jen was getting annoyed, my dog was getting annoyed, like everything. And it was just
a neighbor,
like,
knocked on my door
this.
And said, "Shut the fuck up."
Probably. Like, God, I was getting so frustrated with that. I was like, why? Why did you make this so ridiculously loud and obnoxious? Like, why?
And I mean,
like,
we already complained about the puzzles. We didn't like those either. We thought they were too easy at times.
They were all too easy because you just looked at the book for the answer. Like,
yeah, and
there was no finding the answers to any of the puzzles.
The one thing that I got really annoyed about is the lack of grimoires in the game.
Mm,
and what a grimoire is, it's like, you know, notes of old explorers or like some kind of illustrated writing that gives you insight into the backstory of the game. And
like,
in this
I wish
game,
we could just go through that entire journal of Drake's.
Yeah. Like, it would be cool to find random pages of people writing about Drake or about what was happening or about stuff. Like, and you never found that. It was always like, it's like they didn't even try to make this game about what it was, about history, about treasure hunting, about Sir Francis Drake, about the Spanish coming and finding the treasure, about the Native Americans that originally made the curse. Like, you get no backstory at all in any of this stuff, and it's really fucking frustrating.
I also hated that they named the character who initially found the treasure last name Drake, and then made the name character's name Drake as well.
Sir Francis Drake is a real person.
Well, yeah, I know.
Oh, okay, just make sure. It's like, wait.
But I know, like, it's the Francis Drake's a real person and stuff like that, but I just thought it was, like, interesting that they made the character Nathan Drake looking for Drake's fortune. And I was like, that's so weird.
To me, you might as well have just made the ancestor a fake one if you're not going to use, like, because there are writings from Sir Francis Drake's life that they could have put in there for sure.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to make it up. It all already exists, and they can make up whatever the fuck they want after that. I don't know. I just got a little frustrated because I'm like, I'm just bored. The game is already kind of boring as it is because it's like a lot of combat and then a little bit of puzzle and then a little bit of parkour and then a lot more combat and a lot more dying. And then for some reason you're on a jet ski and then for some reason you're driving through a forest and then for some like it's like there's so much happening in it, but it's all so boring that having that extra layer of stuff you could find, like the hidden shit that wasn't those fucking dumbass treasures that were on the ground and glinting everywhere, would have been nice.
Yeah, no, and like the combat we were talking about, it's kind of annoying because like what was really annoying about the combat too is when they said like they upgraded the amount of enemies and stuff in the game.
Yeah.
You can really tell that because you'll go to an area, you'll have just cleared out an area completely, and you'll go to the next area, and then a group of enemies is in front of you. You'll take out all those enemies in front of you. But then somehow, even though you killed everyone behind you,
there's
more enemies spawn behind you. And then after you kill those enemies, then more enemies spawn again in front of you. And then you kill those enemies. And then you go to a place where there's a door that you can't get through. And then you're like, oh, I guess I have to climb. And that was the entire gameplay repeated over and over again throughout the entirety.
I know it sounds like we're bitching a lot, guys. But I'm going to be honest. I didn't find a lot of good things in this game.
I also didn't.
Like,
so.
There are a couple. The story is kind of interesting. At least it flows okay. And, like, the characterization's really cool. Like, I do really like the character of Nathan Drake, and I really did like Elena, and I really did like Sully.
Yeah.
It's just the bad guys were really flat, which made even the good parts that there are these cool characters in the game kind of bad, because then the people who are supposed to be their counters are kind of shitty.
Well, and, like, I really, I think the characters have their, are fun, and they have their charms, and I do think, like, there's good chemistry between a lot of the characters. Mm-hmm.
Voice acting was really good in the game.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Nolan North is an icon.
Phenomenal.
In the
Yeah. Voice actor, honestly.
And he actually does show up in the movie, if you guys did watch the movie. He's on the beach when Nathan Drake swims up onto the shore.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, we're not trying to harp too much, but this game does have a lot that was wrong with it. Guys, there was a point where I'm just, and I don't normally quit games because I'm just, you know, I'm more about finishing games.
Yeah.
But there's a point where you're in this giant room and there's just enemies all over the place. And there's not a lot of ammo and you're out of grenades and you can't get the grenades in this game are just garbage shit. There's no, like, radius explosions. So you have to have them right on the people for them to get hit. And you're stuck in this room, and I was stuck in this room for, like, I don't know, an hour just trying to get out because I was just fucking dying constantly. Like, someone would get a headshot, someone would do this, and then suddenly enemies appeared. I got all through it, and then enemies appeared behind me and killed me again, and I was livid.
I was
fucking livid as soon as those enemies came up from behind because they didn't have to. It already took me forever to get through all these enemies. Leave the enemies behind out.
Well, I'll just put it to you guys this way. For all of you who know the difficulty of From Software games and Elden Ring, I wanted to quit this game because of its difficulty on easy more than I did pursuing some of the crazy-ass bosses in fucking Elden Ring.
Yeah, because, like, one is fun and one's not. Like, that's just what it is. All right, I think we've harped a little bit long here. Let's go ahead.
I wanted to say one more thing.
No, you're good. Get it out of there. Guys, the music was actually pretty good. I did like the music.
Music is good, yes.
Yeah.
And visual graphics and stuff, especially for the time, were really great. I will give Naughty Dog that on almost every game they ever do.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing I also hated about this, I really thought that the Uncharted franchise was going to be a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
And actually just...
You're gonna talk
treasure.
About the fucking curse, aren't you?
Fuck that, dude! Like,
yeah, that
seriously,
was so dumb.
Like,
that was so dumb.
It, like, it came in like 75% into the game.
Your side, no, it
and
was
then just all of
90 fucking percent into the game.
And then all of a sudden, you're just fighting these, like, mummy undead zombie fucks. Like, what the fuck was that?
Like, they look
just,
like some of
like,
them look like Balverines Balverines from Fable. Some of them look like the Balverines from Fable, and I was like, what, they just take the fucking Fable Balverines and throw them
in
here?
And seriously, this is a game that tried separating itself from Tomb Raider and tried separating itself from Indiana Jones, but then did exactly what both of those franchises do, with adding supernatural bullshit. Why did you need the supernatural bullshit? This game was fine without it. Like, this, that ruined the game for me.
Yeah.
That was the moment where I said, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that, and they had some cool stuff with, like, the World War II Germans that were there, and, like, all that was really cool and interesting. And then the fact that they brought, right at that moment, the fucking history of the artifact and how it's cursed and all that crap was just so dumb. I don't know. I like the idea of treasure hunting. I'm with you. I like the idea of exploring. I like the idea of hearing about different time periods where certain people are going through some shit. But then having the curse in there felt like way too far. At that point, I really did. I checked out a lot at that part of the game.
Yeah, especially when you have double cross over double cross over double cross over double cross.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
the Uncharted series is synonymous for having quadruple crosses. It is ridiculous, which is very Indiana Jones as well.
Yeah. And the game itself does not hold up, unfortunately, so far. Let's see, as we get through the rest of this, maybe some good will come out of it. But I think I have a feeling
what
we both
later
know.
Later games in the series are extremely well done. Like,
which sometimes you do have to get
the third one.
Yeah.
The best.
Sometimes you have to get past that first one to get into the good ones, right? But also you want the first one to capture you a little bit.
Exactly.
Like, Mass Effect, the first one captures you at least a little bit. And then you play the second one and you get blown out of the fucking water. Kingdom Hearts, we were talking about that earlier. First one captures you a lot. And then the second one just completely blows you out of the water. Like,
Dark Souls captures you. Dark Souls 3 blows everything out of the water.
Anything past Dark Souls 1 is really fucking good, I've heard. And Dark Souls 1 is kind of the hardest game, and it still captured people.
2 is the hardest and worst of the series.
Okay. Well, but the point being, like, the first game has to do something to capture to continue you wanting to play the games.
Exactly. So yeah, that's pretty much what we have for best and the worst, and I guess we'll go to the first few hours of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna give this an F on the first 2 hours. I got really bored really fast. Honestly, yeah, it is a lot of parkour and it's a lot of shooting, and that's pretty much it. There's no substance to the game at all.
There's some mildly entertaining, like, story elements with it, and, like, there's some, like, good character introductions and stuff like that, and there are some pretty nice, like, cinematic experience kind of stuff in the first little bit, but that's it.
Yeah.
The gameplay-wise, it's just not fun. Mm-hmm. It's very boring, like Scott's saying. There's not a lot to it. Like, even finding the treasures in this game, it's just always just in, like, a random corner. It's never, like, you have to, like, go and find it. You don't have to, like, climb over to something. It's just in a corner.
Yeah, there's like, one that was up top of something, and I was like, oh, finally, one that's challenging, and then you don't give a shit. And there's too many of them, honestly, in the game, so.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I agree with you there. So, yeah, I guess we'll go right on to Steve's achievements.
What's our Steve's achievements? Well, these are trophies, but we'll call them Steve achievements still.
I'm always calling them Steve's achievements, but that's just the name of this.
Wait, is Uncharted on Steam?
I think it might be now.
Okay, so then it probably does have achievements because Steam does achievements.
Yeah, but trophies, whatever you want to call them, yeah, the achievements. I've been an Xbox gamer my entire life. I'm going to call them achievements.
Yeah, I agree. Achievements are a much better word than trophies, I think.
Yeah. So one of the craziest ones is Charted. Finishing the game on crushing without changing the difficulty. Only 2.4% of people have done this.
I have not.
Yes, I wouldn't even attempt it with as difficult and as hard as the time I've had.
I'm gonna be honest. If it was on Xbox, I would totally do it. But it's not on Xbox, so I don't even give a shit about trophies at all. I just want the fucking achievements.
That's fair. This one was kind of funny because it's almost like a little. I think it's probably an Easter egg. It's called the Master Thief Collection.
Okay, that's probably an Easter egg. It sounds like one.
Yeah, I mean Master Chief Collection, yeah, Thief Collection. Find all the treasures and the strange relic.
Nice.
So there's 60 treasures in the game and then the strange relic, which the strange relic is the thing that you were talking about that's on top of something.
Yeah. Oh, and sorry, we didn't say this. There are kind of cool unlockable things in this game. You can unlock like unlimited ammo guns and shit if you play the game enough times. Like you can, if you find all the treasures, if you beat the game on crushing, I think you get like a golden AK-47 or something. I saw that all in there, and they're like one shot, one kill guns or something.
Okay, so they're stealing golden eye kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah, kind of that stuff. But like that's an option in there. There's stuff in there.
I mean, yeah. If you want
to work at it, kill the yourself problem is, trying I don't, to I don't like it. Working at things like that, so I wouldn't want to do it, but
I don't mind it if the game's incredible.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. The next one, Master Ninja, kill 50 enemies by melee attacking them from behind. Only 1.7% of people have gotten that one. There's not really a lot of chances to melee someone from behind in this.
Yeah, there's not really a stealth option in this game. You have to do it super quick, and you only get to do it like once, and once the before the encounter starts, and then once you do it, the encounter starts.
And then the melee combat's even kind of hard to get to because you'll just be getting blasted in the face up until you run up to them.
Honestly, they made it sound like melee combat was really cool when I was doing all the research, and then I got into it. I'm like, I don't want to do any fucking melee combat.
Well, and you get extra ammo if you melee kill someone instead of just regular killing them and like all this other shit. Like they try to incentivize it, but then made it really difficult to actually accomplish in the game. Then another one that I thought was just like a funny name was Shoot Some B-Roll for Elena. And that's just exploring photo mode in the game, which only 8.9% of people have actually done.
Because they don't care.
Yeah. But I thought that was a a really good title for doing that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Elena the entire time she's videoing everything and trying to document the entire experience because she works for a film company doing documentary.
There's a funny part in here where she's just telling you, "Watch this! No, watch this!" And I'm just like outside because I'm already annoyed at the game and how stupid it is. Yeah. And I'm like, "Listen, I don't want to see your fucking porno. Get out of my fish! Get out of here!"
You don't want to see an Elena porno?
Well, it was a porno she shot, so no.
Oh, that's fair.
I have a feeling
it was Drake and Soli.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have a feeling it's not my kind of porno.
It might be.
You never know, I guess, but maybe not.
All right, so that's what I got for Steve's achievements. Not
Steve achieves.
Steve achieves.
Nothing.
Oh, sad. For this game, true, but sad.
So sad.
So next section, we're going to go with the hunt for all the eggs. That's where I talk about all the secrets and Easter eggs in the game.
Yeah, we kind of talked about the Master Thief collection, so that one was, I would say, I think you're right. I think that's like a Easter egg of sorts.
Yeah, just a homage with the name, at least, or something. So, as I said earlier, that strange relic that you can find in the game, it actually is a precursor orb from Jack and Daxter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, that was a really kind of fun one. Most all the Easter eggs in this are just other Naughty Dog references. So
yeah, which
bear
is
with
sad.
Me on that.
They should have went outside the box more.
Seriously, though, that would have been fun. Sully's plane is named Hog Wild, which is actually a level on Crash Bandicoot.
Okay.
Where a boar is chasing you.
Okay.
Random, weird, but it is a reference, so. there's a couple of really odd ones. The swimwear in the entire Uncharted series is Otsel, Ottsel, which is the kind of animal that Daxter is actually said to be in the Jack and Daxter game series.
Okay.
So
the brand is Otsel?
Yeah, and you can see it like on Elena's like chest when the ship's about to get like taken down by the pirates that they're on. She's got the swimsuit on, and you can see Otsel right there. And then there's a couple other moments you can see the actual tag of the clothing and stuff too. But yeah, and apparently they keep that throughout the entire series. So
okay.
Otsel is just the brand of swimwear in the Uncharted universe. Another one, there's the logo for NDI on the back of Nathan Drake's gun holsters, and that is for Naughty Dog Incorporated.
Nice.
Yeah. And there was another thing that was a couple other things that said ND, and people didn't know if it was a Nathan Drake or Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
That they were referencing for it.
I assume
a lot
that they made Nathan Drake's name because Naughty Dog.
Maybe.
I assume. All
right. So we're going to have Drake look for Drake's fortune, and we're also going to have his initials be our initials.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to copy and paste Tomb Raider and Indiana Jones, but then say it's nothing like it.
It's nothing like it. It's not at all like Tomb Raider.
All right, so yeah, that's what I had for all the Easter eggs.
Okay.
I think there's only one other one with like a license plate saying like Elena's
name
upside down or something like
that. It's probably another fucking Naughty Dog reference because they're not cool enough to jump into other games.
But yeah, I only saw Naughty Dog references in all the Easter eggs. I couldn't find anything else in the game myself, playing it and looking and researching it. So
you know, guys, we played Duke Nukem. Is it Forever?
Forever.
Was that?
Yep.
Yep. And they had, it's one of the worst games you'll ever play in your life, but the references in it, on point.
Yes.
There's a great part in there where he's talking about putting on power armor, and they're like, "You should take that power armor," and it's the Master Chief power armor.
Pussies.
Yeah, and he just goes, "Power armor's for pussies," and walks away. Like, it's just, like, those references are funny to me. They're fun, they're charismatic, they have a little character behind them, but I don't know, ones where you're just referencing your own fucking games, it's just like you're sucking your dick a little bit too much there.
Well, and I forgot which game it was. I think maybe one of the Far Cries or something almost had like a bonfire thing from Software's Dark Souls series.
Yeah.
Like, in one of the as a reference, and you could like find it, and it, I was like, that's cool. I like when games reference other games that they like and other homages and stuff. I like the mixing of genres and the like the cross platform kind of stuff. I don't like it when you just like suck your own dick.
Yeah, it just, it does get old. Like, I mean, it's cool. I would have been amazed if they actually put Crash Bandicoot in the game somewhere.
Yeah,
that would have been really interesting.
I laugh really hard because, like, in The Last of Us remastered versions of those, you can do all these different outfits and you can do all these different t-shirts. You can do, like, Jack and Daxter t-shirts. You can do Uncharted t-shirts. You can do all these things. And it's kind of funny. But, like, in that world, there's actual, like, posters you can find of all those games and stuff as well.
So in the world, they're real.
Yeah, in the world, they're real. So I was like, that at least makes sense and it's really cool, and it's a way for you to show your own brands and stuff in a cool way where it actually still incorporates into our world. That stuff I like a little bit more than just being like, here's a precursor orb.
Hey, you can have it. It doesn't do anything, but you can have it.
See? It's spinning. It's cool, right? And right, it's well, even that... in a place where most people wouldn't go for that.
That was Secrets and Delusions.
Secrets and Delusions.
I was trying to think of a cool name. Nothing came to mind.
That's fair. All right, so I guess we will get finally into our ratings and ask, what is it worth, Scott?
Okay, so this one, I'm just going to give it 1 out of 5. I honestly did not have fun. I was just kind of bored the entire time. This is a game that I'd say play at your own risk for your mental sanity, because honestly, you're just going to get really frustrated as you're playing the game, and you're going to feel like you're not going to feel like you get enough out of it to play it. There are a million games that do this better. Tomb Raider for sure is one, especially the newer releases for them. They're so fucking good. Like, guys, play a different game. There's ones that do it better.
Oh, yeah. I also am giving it a 1 out of 5. And I wonder if it even deserves that, to be completely honest.
Yeah, like, well, we're not going to be those people who say, I'd give 0 stars if I could.
Yeah, I'm not giving 0 because there's not nothing redeemable about it. But this is one of those things where I see it has an 8.4 on IMDb and has really high ratings. And I'm like, how the fuck did anyone enjoy this shit?
Well, you know what my theory is about it? Like, honestly, I think what this game was originally was going to be the flagship game for PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I
think that's why they started in 2005. They were hoping to get it done by 2006, and they realized just how much they had to do for it, and they couldn't do that. And with that flagship kind of mentality with the game, they might have said, like, well, we can pay people to up the score a bit so it looks better, like a flagship game for PS3. True. Like, that's what honestly what I feel like, because I did see those reviews and I was like, how is it getting such good reviews? It's really not fun at all.
Yeah,
I would have picked this up in 2007 and put it fucking down and played Halo 3 again.
When I saw so many reviews talking about the difficulty on easy, I'm like, how does so many people enjoy this game and give it a really high rating if the easy difficulty is too hard for most?
For sure.
And it's not to say that, like, I'm a bad gamer, because, like I said, I've played through a lot of the From Software games. I do a lot of these other things. I play a lot of games on expert difficulty. I've beaten all of the Halos on Legendary, all that shit. But, like, this is just ridiculous on easy. I'm like, why? Why? What is the point of this? And the other thing that I thought was kind of funny that I notated, because I actually watched the movie before I played any of these games. This is the first game I had played. And so many people gave the movie so much shit, but I honestly think the movie did highlight a lot of what the game offers pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, I agree that the casting choice of especially Sully was really god-awful and a couple of things like that.
Because it was Mark Wahlberg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, with how stupid everything in the story is in this, it was just as stupid in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And
like, there wasn't anything of this that I was like, oh, the movie totally got that wrong. Like, it got the vibes perfect. It's just the vibes for this are even shitty. Like, what the what?
I think what the movie did wrong was not have the character die 50 times every level. And if they did that, it'd be so much more like the game.
Yeah, But I mean, even like the puzzles and stuff in the movie were way more fun, way more inventive, like way cooler stuff. Like, and I know they kind of did like a hodgepodge of scenes from all of the series, like the plane scene from Uncharted 3, this from Uncharted 1, blah, blah, blah. But it's still just like everything about it. I was like, you know, like, and I'm not saying either are good. Like, I didn't say that the Uncharted movie was good per se. It's okay.
Yeah.
But knowing the base material now, I'm like, you actually, you kind
of,
you did
you pretty good by that,
actually.
You knocked it out of the park for what you had.
Yeah, for the...
Should have just watched Indiana Jones, and then you would have been able to make a good movie, apparently.
Apparently. Which, I'm excited for the Indiana Jones game.
All right, guys, I think that's it for this game. We've given our review. We've given you a story. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, email us. Reach out. soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Danny will respond to anything at this point. So just reach out. Let us know if you like it, if you hate it, if you think we should do things different. Suggestions, game suggestions really would be awesome, like anything. Just let us know. Next week's game is going to be...
Oh, God, why am I going to...
Metal Gear Rising.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Took him a minute. Revengeance. No, no. Is it Revengeance?
Yeah, I think it's Revengeance, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not a word. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a word? I've never seen this before. And then it's like, it is a word in a dictionary, but it's a word that literally takes its meaning from Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance. Yeah, and I just thought that was funny. All the other dictionaries say it's not real.
Nice. Okay. That's
funny. So yeah, we're playing Metal Gear next week, guys. A little different than the regular Metal Gear Solid games, but we'll have fun with it still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be a fun one. So definitely listen in and check us out wherever you can.
Yep. We will catch you on the next one, guys. Bye.
Bye. Love you.